This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up after emails on a random question. Question categories today. Your favorite pizza toppings and children's favorite educational TV shows.
Okay.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. Coming up.
By the way, we're talking about bus drivers. Right? Mm-hmm. Some question about bus drivers. But someone here says, my mom used to drive the school bus for high school delinquents, as though there's some other kind of high school student. And whenever they wouldn't listen to her, she'd speed up and then slam the brakes and F those kids up. They loved her. And then someone else says, in high school, we gave our bus driver a bottle of Jack and five joints. He was so happy.
I bet he was.
Hell yeah. Look, if you drive a bus, mm-hmm. I just assume that a little weed and some booze is going to go a long way.
We have one of those, straight stretch, but there was a stream that had like one of those big pipes that go underneath the road or whatever, but it was like a little whoop-de-doo, right? Yeah. I'd say slow down, you know. And right before we'd get about 100 yards out, we'd say, like, do it! And he'd gun it a little bit, and everybody lose their stomach. You know, I mean, we thought it was the greatest thing. Yeah. Like, put our hands up like we're on a roller coaster ride.
The most important thing is you can't tell your parents.
But you got to get a seat in the back. I mean, that was the key. If you got a seat in the back, man, then it would really, really work your stomach. Kind of like a roller coaster, man. You need to get a seat in the back to get the full effect.
Why is that so exciting? I can still remember right now, even when I started driving. Like, there's a spot on Cherry Hill Road. I could be like, oh, we'll make our stomachs
go. Right here. Whoa, hey! Isn't that great? I don't know why.
It's so stupid. Like, now that we're talking about it, it is kind of fun.
It doesn't occur in any other real situations in life.
You know, you're right. Yeah.
And maybe if you drop all of a sudden in a plane, but then you just think you're going to die. So that's never really like...
It's not as much fun.
Yeah, this is a more controlled environment of losing your stomach.
Hello, Steven. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Steven, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's go with this one. And this might be a tough one, because this one, I thought about this one for, about 20 minutes today, thinking, okay, what was my all-time favorite toy growing up? Because there are a lot of cool toys.
Oh, man.
And depending on the age, it's a little bit different. There was a thing called ColecoVision, which probably ended up being one of my favorite toys, because it was better video game than I'd ever had before. I could play Donkey Kong on it and stuff like that. But honest to God, the more I rack my brain, I really think the toy that gave me the greatest joy over the years was a Nerf football.
I think as far as a utility player goes, you're right, because it's so versatile, it can be used.
You can take it anywhere.
But I feel like my favorite toy that I played at a certain age, it was the Evel Knievel wind-up.
All right, that was another good one.
Love that. And before that, it was, I don't know if you remember these, the electric car racetracks.
Those were awesome.
Dude, yeah. I lived for those.
Yeah, those were great. So what would you say was your favorite toy when you were growing up?
It's a toss-up between two very good ones, either Legos or G.I. Joes.
Now, did you have the small G.I. Joes or the big-ass G.I. Joes?
I had the little G.I. Joes. I was a poor kid. I couldn't afford those big ones.
No. You're a younger kid.
It's age, bro.
Yeah. I think the older I get, the more intriguing that the Lego sets become, just based on the fact that they're just so
intricate now. When we were growing up, they're amazing now.
And we do them with the kids now. They've got a TV show, and we've got bins with the Legos now. And I'll tell you, I mean, as a parent, we break out the Legos, and it is the most fun those kids have ever.
It depends, man. So for me with Legos, it's this. My daughter was really, 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 really into them a couple of years ago, and so you're getting, you know, the 500 piece set, and you're doing, I don't know, the Eiffel Tower or a circus or whatever the case is. That I found is not so much fun because you're following the instructions. But when everything's deconstructed and you can just make whatever, then I have a little more enjoyment.
We only had a rectangle green thing that was like your blank canvas. Wasn't a lot of room to do a lot with Legos as far as...
No, there wasn't. I mean, like now, there's nothing that Legos don't recreate.
We've got Lego tables, bud. We've got Lego everything. Lego glass doors and... I mean, I've got some of the older Legos, too, like the Aquanauts. And, yeah, the kids absolutely love that stuff. And the following instructions is, you're right, like that 5,000-piece set, that stuff's for the birds.
Right, because if you miss one piece, the whole thing's effed up.
And if you really wanted to do something intricate when we were growing up, it was basically you did like a model car.
Sure.
Or a model plane, whatever, in this testes glue, whatever it was, man.
Testers, yeah.
Testers.
Testes. Testes glue.
I'm just thinking about what's on my brain right now, you know what I mean? But, man, you would absolutely, it would get you high. But, man, you could never get the glue to not, like, be all over the outside.
Oh, we had to paint it.
It's like this ghetto paint job you would do where it just looked like crap. It never looked like the box.
No.
Because I tried to do, like, a Trans Am, like, smoking the band.
I remember that one.
It was just, like, covered in glue on the outside.
You got to take the springs from Penn's and hook them up into the axles of those model cars and give them hydraulics.
See, you're, like, way
into it. That was way.
I will say, the beauty of Legos and... I believe at some point they accidentally, intentionally did this, but no matter how old your Legos are, no matter what Legos they make in the future, they all work together.
Yeah.
Right, so it does not matter which one you get, because right now I have it's probably 20,000 Lego pieces, just based on all the different Lego sets they've gotten. They're all deconstructed. They all sit in this big-ass bucket. And every once in a while when their friends come over, it's what they do, but I realize, like, you can always add to this, man. They will always fit.
I would say the model airplanes, too. Yeah. I went through a phase where I really liked making those.
What about
like that big?
Right, but it was still hard to do. Like as far as gluing them together and all that stuff. Like you could, I can never, as anal as I am, I can never get it to the point where it looked like it should have.
No,
because I just glues everywhere. And
to me, like doing Legos when I was a kid, it's like when you watch a commercial for fast food, right? Try our new so and so cheeseburger. There's what they show you on the commercial, and you know goddamn well when you get it, it looks nothing like that, right? That's to me what the Lego was. Like, this is what's on the box. That's the commercial burger. Then when you do it, it looks like what you actually get.
I can never make anything look like I want it to. And maybe, I don't know, Mike, if you are in this world at all, but do you guys remember there was a like a little soapbox derby competition kind of thing in Boy Scouts?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, some dads and sons worked together, and they would come up with this really cool car.
That was a foil on the back.
Oh, man, it was just badass. And I came in with, like, this basic block of wood that was kind of whittled, painted with whatever crap I could find in the garage, you know what I mean, which was, you know, used paint from 5 years ago.
Do they still do those?
It just looked like, I mean, it looked like I had a primer, you know, soapbox, not soapbox.
Pinewood Derby.
Pinewood Derby.
I believe they still do in certain areas. But, yeah, there was always that one kid that showed up, and his dad did a lot more work than he did.
He had weights in it, ball bearings in the wheels. Like, he was a cheater.
Hey, man.
Well, his dad was a woodworker, so everything's, like, professionally shaved down.
Yeah,
the right aerodynamics
gloss
to it.
Paint, number on the side.
That's the one thing my brother would do where I really wanted to go to that event. And, of course, you're more than invited because it's a family thing. And they would do, what is it, Pine Box Derby, right? Mm-hmm. So my brother had the ugliest car in the Derby. And I was like you said, basically... He whittled it just enough to legally show that he'd whittled it. Mm-hmm. Then it was painted brown of all goddamn colors and had a white racing stripe, and I think it was number 9. But even as a child, I'm looking at this like, this looks like a piece of S with wheels on it, all right? So he goes to race the kid who has the dad who obviously built the car. Because this kid looked dumber in a box. Mm-hmm. No way this kid put this car together. But whatever. I mean, it had the spoiler. It looks like a Formula One car. And here's my brother's brown coffin that he puts in that. My brother smoked his ass in that.
Really?
And my God. Everyone thought he would lose, including my brother, because, again, it was the ugliest guy. It was the ugliest of all the entries.
I'm shocked your brother could make a fast one, though.
That's
just part of his DNA.
No, it's not so much of a losing.
It's front weight. It's all kinds of stuff. But I mean, my car looked like the primered car in the high school parking lot. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe that thing runs. The reason we asked what was your favorite toy growing up, the National Toy Hall of Fame just announced the 12 finalists for the 2021 class. The finalists this year are, Ted, you're going to love this, American Girl dolls.
Oh. Oh, F American Girl. Stop sending me catalogs.
The game Battleship. That's a great game. Billiards. Kind of shocked that hasn't been in yet. Cabbage Patch Kids.
As a toy?
Look,
last year it was Sidewalk Chalk, Baby Nancy, and Jenga.
So those, but that's fair. I mean, that's fair. My kids still dig sidewalk chalk.
Jenga is a game for families. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's just a bunch of adults getting after it, you call it drinking Jenga, right?
Yeah.
But I'm with Thrill. I feel like billiards is specifically adults.
But kids might want to play it, but yeah, definitely more.
And they only put a couple of these in a year. The Fisher-Price Corn Popper. This is the toy for, like,
what
people.
What is that?
Is that the kids are just beginning to walk, and it's got a little bubble on it that's clear, and then there's balls in there, and you push it, and it pops. And then the balls pop like popcorn inside the little plastic thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then we've got Masters.
I had a bubble mower.
Oh, that's cool. That blew the bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Masters of Universe toys, the Pinata, Risk. Again, back Risk. To the original argument, just plain sand. Sand.
Sand.
Sand.
No. No.
Well, there's a sandbox, you see.
But that's like saying that one of the best children's foods is Legos because they eat them all the goddamn time. Like, come on, man.
And a toy fire engine made the list, too.
Ooh. I put that high on the list.
Winners will be voted on by the toy industry experts. Plus voting at the toyhalloffame.org for next week. Around 3 of the 12 toys end up getting inducted every year, but they'll be announced on November 4th.
Sand.
I would guess,
come on,
to me that the Risk was put in last year. It was nominated last year, did not get in. I'm saying the Battleship, the game Battleship.
That should be in.
This is the one that's my guarantee to get in.
Yeah.
What's the rest of the list again?
Billiards, American Girl dolls, Cabbage Patch Kids. That's going to be another strong contender.
That should be in there.
Masters of the Universe toys, the Pinata, Risk, Sand, the Settlers of Catan, maybe? Anybody heard of this?
I don't know.
And the Toy Fire Engine.
I'll tell you, that Toy Fire Engine and Sand have real good shots.
The Toy Fire Engine, yeah. Sand, I feel like this, right? And I understand everyone's debate. Kids like to play with sand. But it is their birthday or it's Christmas. Give them a Ziploc bag full of sand. And you let me know what their response to this is. Like, I got you a Hall of Fame toy. Dad, it's a bag of sand. That's right, son.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Right. Here's my question.
Not a bad argument.
Here's my question.
That's all I'm saying. From a kid's point of view, are they as happy to have Legos as they are to have a bucket of sand?
You know how the award show goes. It was one on last night, right? So somebody gets up there and represents whatever show it is, or, you know, they're in fact the winner of the best, you know, actor or whatever. Like, so maybe the guy from Mattel gets up for, I don't know, Battleship or whatever, right? Who represents sand? Like, if they do win, like, and they say, like, sand, like, who stands up at the table and goes up there and accepts the award? You know what I mean?
On
like,
behalf of sand.
On behalf of sand.
Right, because that's a big ask.
I mean, like, maybe like Hasselhoff in red shorts. I mean, like, who would be best represented, you know, to be the spokesperson for
Flint Marko.
For sand.
Who's Flint Marko?
He was the guy that played the Sandman in the third Spider-Man movie.
Wow.
Ah,
wow. Okay. See, that would be apropos.
At least what about a famous volleyball player?
It could be.
Maybe. But here's the difference. Volleyball is not treating it, they're treating it as a game, but it is not a toy. I don't think a professional athlete can represent sand as far as a toy goes.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, if sand gets in there, which I'm voting for sand,
really?
It's going to be somebody from the organization just like, we recognize what sand is.
But
and
did you
sand,
have sand
grows naturally.
Did you have sand as a kid?
No, but I love sand boxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, like, I didn't have sand at my house, but like.
Well, wait. Apparently, somebody here says, hey, man, it's not, where is it? It's not normal sand. It's sand that's mixed with something or something.
Isn't that kinetic sand
stuff?
You
mean like the colored stuff that makes the waves and stuff?
But those are two different.
Completely different.
Like if it's the kinetic sand, I feel like
you
would. That's cool. I get it. My kids would be happy to get that as a gift. But they're just saying sand.
But even an ant farm is sand in the middle. I mean, technically, right? I mean, isn't the inside of an Etch-a-Sketch technically sand?
Mm-hmm. Maybe sand's been there more than we give it credit for.
Maybe we give an honorable mention. It's like
an hourglass. Or is that salt?
No, those
like sand through an hourglass. What about, do you ever have those little things you could punch and they come back up?
Oh, yeah.
That's because it was sand in the bottom.
Oh, that's right.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. Sand as a toy sucks, but.
I don't remember what they're called.
But you're right.
I just remember punching the hell out of those things.
You know what? Sand can hold down your basketball hoop. You're right.
Yeah.
Sand's great.
Sand's great. Sand is fine. You know what? I take it all back. Sand, you should be in the Toy Hall of Fame. I didn't realize how much you did. My Etch-a-Sketch, right? I shake you and you just sand it all away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My Punch Clown pops back up. Why? Because sand is in that random Punch Clown.
I mean, look, it's two different lifestyles. I think a lot of it's warmer weather or the East Coast. But, like, like little kids will just sit on the damn beach all day and play in the sand.
Yes, they will.
They'll make a moat. They'll have a castle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I'm going to go down to the beach. I'm going to go swimming. And then I'm either going back to the place or I got to go find a bar or something or a restaurant to hang out in. Like, I can't sit on this beach all day.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And they even sell the plastic bucket and the plastic shovel just so your kids can make a mess.
And then there's the one guy on the boardwalk who creates this incredible sand structure. And you're just looking at it and you're like, you made a dumpy little thing from a bucket earlier. And you're like, ah, I suck.
Way to embarrass me. Cool. Thank you. Good looking at it. Hello, Julie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Julie, welcome to the program. Random question.
Can you turn down your radio for us, please?
Sorry, I just moved out of the room. Yeah.
Okay.
I was listening to you guys.
All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. All right, Julie, let's go with this one. When did you need your parents' help, and what did they help you with?
Well, probably.
Turn down the radio.
Oh, wait, you still hear it?
Yeah,
you got the thing cranked. We don't mind you cranking the show, but, you know,
yeah,
kind of messes with the feedback.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
All right, sorry. Probably when I got stuck in the wood pile at our house.
What now?
Yeah.
How'd you get stuck in a wood pile?
Well, I was only like 6 years old and trying to climb up it, and I got my foot caught, and I couldn't get it out between the two pieces of wood, and it was about 6 feet high, so.
How long were you stuck there?
Oh, about 10 minutes, because, you know, that was back in the day when nobody came and looked for you.
No, that's
exactly the good old days.
Mm-hmm. My job was to stack that pile of wood every winter, or every fall, or whenever the hell they cut it down. Yeah, that sucks. The reason we asked, when did you need your parents' help and what did they help you with? A Florida mom was arrested for allegedly helping her son and his friend beat the crap out of another kid. Ashley Ruffin, who is 30, is accused of grabbing the boy by his hair and arm and holding him back while her son and another bully beat him. According to the Flagler County Sheriff's Office. Flagler County, by the way, beautiful beaches. The victim told police that he was sitting with his friends outside of a sports complex at a middle school in Palm Coast when he was attacked by the two boys. His friends ran over to help, and at some point during the scuffle, the victim said that Ruffin restrained him and allowed her son and the other boy to continue to pummel him. Witnesses corroborated the boy's story, also told cops that she flashed a taser at one point during the brawl. The victim's mother reported the incident to an officer at the middle school, who in turn flagged it to the sheriff's office. She was hit with a battery and child abuse charge and has denied that she tried to hurt the child and claimed in a Facebook Live video that she was only trying to pull her son away from the altercation. The juveniles involved may also face battery charges, according to authorities. That's good times.
You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all, man. And look, I've given my kids advice on what I would do if I were them in these situations, but, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to show up at your school and physically restrain or beat the piss out of a kid.
But look, even when my kids, they never really got into physical confrontations as much, but if someone would say something that would really, like, hurt my kids' feelings or upset them or whatever, and they would come home and I could tell they were down and they were upset and they were crying and all that stuff, you know, like, I just wanted to go in my car and beat the crap out of that kid's parents and just hope that the parents were bigger than me.
Right.
Like, open the door and there's a huge,
wrong address.
Sorry, my bad. More of the random question coming up, 206-421-ROCK.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to
to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
It's a chance for you to pick up some tickets to see Ghost and Volbeat's Climate Pledge Arena at 4:20. We'll give you the secret word.
Secret word.
Then you go to KSW.com, put the word in there, and then you'll be eligible to win the tickets to Ghost and Volbeat with whoever else goes there and does the same thing. So,
Ghost and Volbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Picturing the two of them mashing up. Just a ghost that's like, boo! Boo, 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 boo!
Something like that.
Scary! Scary music! All right, here's our random question. 206-421-RUN.
Random.
Hello,
random,
Justin. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Justin, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, we're talking a lot about being a kid today. Why don't we stay on that train for a minute? What terrified you as a child? What just scared the living hell out of you? Believable or not?
Oh, man. Freaked me out, except for... Back, it was like my first year of high school, and I was coming back home, and there was police cars out. It turns out a burglar broke into our house, got all of our stuff wrangled up. My sister came in, chased them out because she had her keys in her hand, and they jumped out of my window. So for like the next like 2 or 3 years, I was paranoid every time I left the house.
Yeah.
Need to make sure that everything was locked. We had a security system. It was... freaked out. Like even today, like I'll leave my house, get like 5 minutes in the house. I'm like, did I lock my house? I'll turn around and I'll lock it.
Yeah, you know what, man? I'm known to do that. Did I close the garage door? Whatever, and I'll drive back just to make sure that
the garage door's the one, man.
But you went through a traumatic experience. I don't think that's very unusual. I mean, a lot of people have that happen to them as adults and just sell the house.
Right.
They move because they're so freaked out by what happened in that home that they can never get past it. And it's hard enough to get a good night's sleep.
Right.
Let alone thinking about what the hell, you know, could happen. That's a fact. All right, the reason we asked what terrified you as a child. A list of harmless threats that terrified children. BuzzFeed has put those together. Supposed threats that terrified specifically in this instance, they say millennials.
Billy, I'm going to kill you.
When they were younger, but are almost actually harmless. Here are some of the highlights. One is thinking that a ceiling fan could fall on you if you left it on while you were sleeping. I never had that problem.
Never thought that.
I always leave them on.
And now that you bring it up, I'm sure I will.
The knowledge that if you swallowed gum, it would stay in your stomach for seven years.
7 years.
The knowledge of that, yeah.
We didn't have Google back then. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why your parents can just tell you this crap, and you're like, oh, my God, that sounds terrible. Mm-hmm. Right?
Or your older siblings.
Or the older siblings. Right, but you could not disprove it. But they never said anything bad would happen. They just said it would be in your stomach for 7 years. And I was like, all right.
That if you were to somehow turn the light on in the car while your parents were driving, the car will immediately crash. You can never turn the light on.
And that's illegal. That's what they always said.
It's illegal to turn the light on inside the car.
That was like a giant thing.
I don't know if it is or if it's not, but that was beaten at night, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was only a dome light back then.
So basically,
you illuminated the entire car. Where now they have specific little spots, but it's still annoying as hell. Like, hey, what are you doing back there with the light on? You know what I mean? Like, I'm...
Instantly. If you drop something in my parents' car at night, accept that it is gone until you get where you're going. If you turn that light on, man, my father would kill you.
I don't know what it is about that, but that was a big tackle.
It was huge. It was like the worst thing you could do, apparently, in the car.
And then if you put it on the wrong setting where it wasn't for the door, you know what I mean? then they get real pissed off at you. Like, why'd you just put that thing on, you know, like, all the time?
It's amazing things parents just really got upset about.
Being horrified that your shoe could possibly get sucked into an escalator. I still look at my
shoelace. Yes.
Before at my shoelaces before I get on an escalator. I don't know why that still freaks me the hell out.
I saw a girl. It was a girl I knew. I was maybe 6 years old, so she was probably about 9 or 10. We were with her parents, or like some department store or something, but her shoelace did get stuck in the escalator, and it seemed very traumatic. As best as I remember from her response to what was going on, the escalator stopped, the manager's out there, and I'm like, man, do not let your shoelace. And I'm like, to this day, it still bugs me.
Another weird thing that might have terrified you as a child, quicksand being a very prevalent hazard in life.
Yes. Well, that was to a every big one. TV show, yeah. It was everywhere.
Where is it?
It could be in your backyard.
But where is it? Where is home to quicksand? You know what I mean? Like, we know where we know where Nessie is, right? But like, where do you go?
Florida, South Carolina.
All right.
Places like that. But during the 70s, anyway, if you watch TV, any drama that was on TV, at some point, the main character, and it would always be a cliffhanger, like, they stepped in quicksand, and as we understood
it. Could be Batman. It could have been Laurel and Hardy. It didn't matter if they went on an adventure. You know what I mean?
There's Bionic Man, Dukes of Hazzard, the quicksand. A-Team. It's like, oh, my God. Quicksand's the most dangerous thing.
It was everywhere. It was insane.
I mean, right. I remember growing up, I was scared, very scared of it.
And everybody died. Everybody went to quicksand. And the last thing you saw was their arm, right? Mm-hmm. And at some point, when it got like to their elbow, then they just disappeared instantly.
Gone. Does that really exist? Has anyone ever really died?
I'm sure there's some
version of it, but it's not the same way we grew up with it in TV.
Okay.
So what I understand about quicksand, like some animals end up succumbing to it because animals just aren't particularly.
I understand bright. A tar pit.
But they say, with human beings, essentially, if you were to lay on your back, you're not going to sink. And usually not always, it's not deep enough. You know, it's not like this 40-foot
pit. So it's equivalent
to
being like an assault lake or like an assault float. You just stay to the top.
Yeah, they're like, if you were to lay on your back, kind of roll out of there, you'd be fine.
I think more people probably die in the mud and stuff.
For sure.
Trying to go out in the ocean. Like, you know what I mean? Like when the tide's out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's so heavy to get in and out of there.
Worrying that if you swallowed a seed, a plant will grow inside of you.
Yeah.
That's real.
I never had that problem because I never ate anything with seeds.
That if you ripped the tag off your mattress, you'd go to prison.
Yeah.
It basically threatens you like that. Well, there's no other consumer product that threatens you like that.
Removal of this tag's illegal. We only found out recently that... That does not apply to the consumer. It applies to the retailer.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
So that tag that says, hey, it's illegal to remove this, and we've spent our entire lives going, what will happen if I do it? It has nothing to do with us who bought the mattress. Mm-hmm. It's specifically the retailers.
And number one, the Bermuda Triangle being a mysterious and massive concern. However, as you said a few times, your dad kind of patrolled that area.
Just
to try to figure out what was going on.
His gig in the Navy.
The military thought it was enough of a concern to actually go down there and see what the hell's going on.
They absolutely did. They're going to investigate anything, whether they tell you about it or not, but they're going to investigate anything that seems important or mysterious. So this was the Steves, kind of during the heyday of the Bermuda Triangle. My father's in the U.S. Navy. They're stationed in Newfoundland, Canada. So every day, or 5 days a week, I don't know how many, but either way, every day it was the same thing. It was a 13-hour round trip. And he's like, man, we got on this plane. Keep in mind, he's not a pilot, so it's not even like he's looking out the window. He and his crew, they got in the back of this plane, and this big-ass plane took off from Canada, and it flew down to the Bermuda Triangle with the expressed purpose of trying to disappear to see what's going on. So my father...
Did they put the lower-ranking people on these planes?
I don't know, but my father always explained. He said, you realize when you're in the military, there's not a mission you want to fail. He goes, and then I discovered the mission that we all wanted to fail. Because the idea was, hey, if you guys disappear, we think we have these new communication things that are set up, we can stay in contact. And my father, at that time, he's like, look, nobody knows what's going on with the Bermuda Triangle. He goes, but the one thing that happened 100% of the time is that you lose contact.
Your instrument panel goes right. Wacky, and I always just remember like when they did it fictionally, like,
everything spins around.
Everything's spinning and things are going nuts, and you lose power.
And he said, none of us wanted to achieve this mission. He goes, so if we complete the mission, we effing disappear forever. So, but that said, you are being tracked, so it's not like you could go around it. I mean, they would fly through, and he said, every day, we're terrified. Could you? It's not like you're getting shot down. It's not.
I would just want to land in Bermuda and spend the weekend.
Well, he said this was the goal. So one of the things they always did, they always checked the parachutes, because he said, we prayed to God, because everyone hated this mission, because it's 13 hours of being bored, and if you're successful, you've disappeared without a trace off the face of the earth, which is not what anybody wants to do, right? So he said our hope was that we'd have mechanical trouble once we hit the tropics, because he goes, look, then we'd jump the hell out of the plane, let the plane go into the ocean, and the Navy would take it, based on an estimation of what he did, about a week.
To get him.
To go down and pick him up. So he said, man, every day. It's like, once we were kind of like over Florida, we're like, come on, baby.
Yeah,
have some mechanical
fit.
Yeah.
Like his paradise.
Like, please. Let's have mechanical fit.
Especially when you're leaving from Canada in the cold and the wind.
Well, so that's the other thing. When you fly back and the door opens in Newfoundland, Canada, it feels like you're in Newfoundland, Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just watched the whole show on the Bermuda Triangle. This is more just on the boats. And some of the stuff there, just like, yeah, it's a rogue wave.
That's a lot. Now, that's a boat. But in the plane, it's when they disappear. You're like, what the hell? Man, how big is this wave, man?
No. Like, the planes are a different story. But it is funny that, like, as science, as technology's come along.
Yeah.
You know, the Bermuda Triangle isn't nearly as interesting.
It's not. No, it's not. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, you can actually figure out what happened. It's like, all right.
Since then, man, we had Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, Bermuda Triangle, and the Titanic. Those were, like, the big four when I was growing up.
The only one
like,
that's been taken care of is Titanic.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. And, you know.
They found it.
Hello, I know, now that they found it, you're like, well, no, I don't care.
Okay.
Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Kevin, welcome to the program. Random question. All right, let's go with this.
Awesome.
I know it's been a while since we've done a lot of things, but what was worth the wait? Do you remember anything that was actually worth the wait? Whether it was a movie, maybe a concert that you wanted to see, a vacation that you were taking. Sometimes you get all hyped up about going someplace or whatever, and it's just kind of whatever. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Worth the wait. I guess there was a girl in high school that I definitely was really interested in, and she was going out with my buddy. Then she ended up going out with another guy, and I thought, the heck with it. I am not going to, you know. Anyway, I waited forever for her, and then just out of nowhere, of course, it was like a year or two out of high school. Who comes knocking on my door? Yes, she comes knocking on my door. Though I waited long and hard, but get it? And hard?
Yeah, we got you, bro.
Yuck. I see what you did there. Crazy comedian.
Oh, my goodness. Hey-oh. Anyway, it was so worth the wait. My gosh. I hope that wasn't too...
No, that's exactly what we're talking about.
The long and hard just everybody off.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people who have sat on the bench for numbers and numbers of years waiting for...
Yeah.
You know, waiting for their shot at whatever they're waiting for there. And the other person knows they've got them on the bench, too.
Yeah. That's why they waste to get
there. They're stringing them on, you know, like anything else.
Oh, I've been a bench player, man. Two and a half years. But I did finally get laid, and it's like... God damn, that's what I was waiting for, man.
Yeah, because
I pitched one game and I had some good stats. I never played again, but I finally got in.
It's back to Eddie Murphy and his routine about the cracker, man. If you've been in the desert for, like a week and you haven't eaten, man, that cracker is going to taste really good. Like, this ain't a cracker, this is a Ritz. What is
it? Goddamn right.
This is the greatest cracker I've ever tasted. You know,
hey, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Reason we asked what was worth the wait. An Atlanta restaurant employee who was shot while witnessing a crime was put on hold when he called 911 or 911. Please hold, said the Atlanta 911 recording after a restaurant employee stepped outside for a break and witnessed two men trying to break into a car. So upon noticing the employee, the two thieves turned and shot at him, and they shot him in the arm. Well, they got away with the car while the employee tried to repeatedly get a hold of anyone in 911, but he was put on hold every time he attempted to make a call. So eventually, a restaurant co-worker called an off-duty officer that she knows. Now, that officer used his radio to get in contact with the communication center to explain the situation. Well, they didn't want to wait any longer because the guy's bleeding out. So the co-workers drove the injured employee to the hospital themselves.
Saved money.
All right. We've researched the incident and have not been able to locate a call placed by the victim, according to the Atlanta Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
We are aware a female employee of the business called 911 and her call was answered by a call taker. This is the confusing part of the statement. We have researched this incident and have not been able to locate the call placed by the victim. In the same breath, we are aware a female employee of the business called 911 and her call was answered by a call taker. Hence, they did know that the victim called 911. The incident follows another from earlier in September when a motorist who thought they were being followed in a road rage incident received the same hold please recording when attempting to dial 911. That man said he initially thought that he would be on hold for just a few minutes, but his view turned out to be optimistic. But it kept repeating. They kept putting me on hold.
You're very important to us.
Yes, exactly.
You'll be fine.
But the spokesperson says, like most 911 centers, there are times when we will experience an influx of calls, leading to some callers being placed on hold for the next caller to be taken. If a caller is placed on hold, hangs up and calls back repeatedly, they go back to the queue. So every time you hang up, you're going to go back in line to the people who are waiting. And that's the most important thing I think you can learn from this. If you do call 911 and they put you on hold, you are in line, so you might be the third caller. But if you hang up and someone calls in the same time that you've hung up, then you're going to be placed farther down the line.
Maybe they should set it up like they do when you call anywhere else, right? So it's like, hey, 911, look, before we even start, if this is something stupid, hit one, right? Your cat's stuck in a tree, we don't care, hit one, we'll figure it out. If you're bleeding or someone's dying, hit two, right? Just urgency-wise, maybe.
Well, I think that's the thing, too. Like, I don't maybe, I guess some people do use 911 for stupid stuff.
Yes.
But ideally, to me, like, if I'm dialing 911, somebody's life is in danger.
You are. But think about all the 911 calls they get, like, my feet hurt. Like, sir, I mean, what do you want us to do?
Non-emergency number is 411.
311.
Is it
311? 411's info.
Oh, 411 is info. Mm-hmm. Well, no wonder I haven't been able to get anybody over on
back. Has been for a long time.
I didn't even know that still existed. Is there still a number to call the time and the temperature?
Ooh.
Do we know that?
Look at your phone.
I swear to God, man, when we were in radio, we had to have things on kind of a military time, whatever the satellite clock is. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, we had to call this number and make sure that our times on the board were precise.
Now,
they give you the temperature, too.
I don't know that people still do it because with a phone, you don't need to do it. But when I was growing up, there'd be an argument about what time it is, and the argument was within 3 minutes of each other. I think it's 9 o'clock. You think it's 8:57. What is the line that someone would always say? I set mine because that's what they said on the radio. Okay?
Yep.
Now, I believe this to be a very truthful thing. And in fact, if I ever set my watch or my clock to what the radio said, I felt very good about myself. But now I'm in radio. Guess what? Yeah. No.
Well, those are time when
it's ballpark.
Time was very important. And not because people didn't wear watches. It was because it wasn't on your phone. So if something happened to your watch, whatever the deal was, you know, like we were told at one point in time at a station I worked at, you had to tell the time, especially when I worked in the morning, you had to tell the time three different ways. Because some people...
Just right. How they interpret it.
How they interpret the time.
8:15, 15 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you tell the time up to...
A quarter half.
So it'll be 7:15, 15 after 7, 45 until 8. Good morning.
Right. Like,
God damn it, you didn't get it the first time? 7:15?
You're an adult. You know how to tell time.
Come on, man. You're better than that. You go tell three ways. Maybe they didn't get it the first time around. Who knows?
Oh, was that our fault?
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hola.
Dave, welcome to the program. And the random question. All right, let's see here. All right. Okay. Let's go with this one. What is the dirtiest place, would you say, Dave, in your home? What is the dirtiest place right now in your home?
Not inside the home, I would say. We have, live in Lake Stevens on 6 acres. And there's an old shed, if you will, that's down the hill a bit that we never used. And it's just overgrown and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Can
you see it? If you have 6 acres, I'm assuming you're out in the middle of nowhere, so it's not like unsightly for anybody else, right? This would not be an HOA concern.
No. Well, you know.
Well, look, there's.
Like, we do have property we don't see, so, I mean, you could have a homeless camp down there for all I know. I'm not going down there.
Okay. All right.
That's a perfect place for a homeless camp.
By the way. You guys were not on the radio on last Monday.
Monday, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were not. We were off all last week, Dave.
No, I know. But you guys were off the air or not live on Monday. I looked at my wife. I said, I guarantee you those guys are in Vegas and they're going to be going to the Baltimore Raiders game at the new arena.
I did exactly that. Yep. That was the whole thing, bro.
Yep.
So Miles told me the schedule. When the schedule was released, got on the phone. My wife instantly, And the amount of time it took her to decide whether or not she wanted to go, the ticket prices went up $100 each.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we're talking. She's like, well, I'm like, they just went up $100. So, yes, we did, in fact, go down and watch the Baltimore Ravens lose an incredible game against the Raiders.
What do you guys think the dirtiest part of your place is right now?
I mean, are you talking about, like, physical dirty or just clutter?
Like, this is something that I need to do. I mean, it could be either one. Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I've got my shower curtain. I've been ignoring it for probably about 2 to 3 months. And it's starting to get that pink hue.
Yep.
To the point where, like...
What is that?
It's mold. No, it's absolutely mold. It's the same
thing. Well, what is soap scum? People always use that term, but I feel like mold you can notice, but that pink stuff, like, what is that?
Because it forms in your toilet bowl. Right. It forms on my shower curtain. I know I got to buy a new shower curtain. Shower curtain rod's been there for probably since like 2003.
Sure.
Easily. It's like rusted and nasty ass. The reason we ask what's the dirtiest place in your home, believe it or not, it's in your bathroom. Do you know where it is in your bathroom?
Toothbrush.
Your
sink.
You'd think all of those things. A new study has revealed the filthiest part of your bathroom is not the toilet or the sink. Basically, it's the towel rack.
Ew.
Twofold. Researchers say the towel racks are rarely clean when people scrub their bathroom, but they should be because damp towels are an ideal breeding ground for harmful microorganisms and bacteria. And two, towel racks and bathroom radiators attract dust, grime, mold, and mildew.
Oh, right, right.
Which isn't just unclean. It can lead to irritated skin and even illness. Scientists say you should clean your towel rack 3 times a month.
Damn. Wow.
I just learned that it was a 30-day loofah.
Right.
I've been using that thing for like 6 months. Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, categories will be delicious pizza toppings and your favorite children educational TV shows. You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.